The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is a fantasy novel by English writer C.S. Lewis. It's been popular with children for over 50 years. It's often mentioned that Lewis wrote this fantasy and his other stories about the magic world of Narnia as a Christian allegory. A Hollywood movie version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is on screens now. Laura Lamb went to see it, and she's here with her comments. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Jane.
Now, were you a Narnia fan as a child?
Oh, yes. I still remember when I received the first Narnia book as a present from an adult friend, and then I read them all. And then when I was finished reading all of them, I think there were six or seven of them, I read them all again. And then I went to the librarian and asked, are there any more books like this? And she showed me all the fantasy books in the library, and I read them quickly as possible.
You know, I read them too, but I forget now. What was the basic premise of the books?
Well, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is the first, is the sort of the central one, although it's not first chronologically in the series, in the story. But anyway, they're about British children, various ordinary children. In fact, I think all these fantasy books were British children. But they're magically transported in various ways. And in this particular one, it's the wardrobe, which is their way into this sort of parallel universe, the country of Narnia, where they have wonderful adventures as kings and queens of a kind of medieval world, which is populated by animals and mythical creatures like centaurs and fauns and unicorns and other lovely things like that.
How does it stand up to the Hollywood treatment, this childhood favorite of yours?
Well, actually, it comes across very true to my remembrance of the book. It almost seemed as if this was a film script that was just waiting for the special effects to get to the point where they could realize it. I know there have been other attempts to make movies of it, but they've never been able to, they've never been able to have flying griffins and lions that really looked like they were really talking, and the effects were very impressive. And they really stuck to the plot, the characters, and even the imagery. The very first image when the first child arrives in Narnia, it's a snowy landscape, and as she's exploring it, she surprises a fawn, you know, the half-human, a deer or a goat creature, and he's walking along in the forest carrying an umbrella, something I've always remembered, and that was there. And they pretty well carried that imagery and everything about the books right through. Actually, I was more disappointed when I reread the books a few years ago when I was reading them to my daughter than I was in this film version.
So do you think then that the movie's an improvement on the book?
Well, perhaps in a small way. As an adult, when I read the books again, I noticed how sexist they were and how one of the books in the series is out and out racist and imperialist, because the young hero goes out to conquer a nasty group of people who are sort of Arabic. They wear turbans and they're very cruel, and they live in kind of oriental splendor. And so I predict that novel will never be made into a film in this series they're planning to make, but I think it'd be pretty difficult to do that without making something that is out and out racist. But in this film, I noticed that there was one very minor change, and that is there's two girls and two boys in this family that go to Narnia. In this film, they're all given magical gifts at one point in the story. And in the film, the girls are not only given gifts of the power of curing and signaling, they're also given weapons. So that change is sort of like how I think the military has changed, for instance. You know, you always hear now about the fighting men and women, not just the fighting men. So that is a bit of a sea change, I guess.
Did you notice any other changes in flavor or content between the books and the movie?
Well, the major change, the really noticeable change in the movie, is that they added this backstory. The opening of the film, the children are in real life in London, and it's the Blitz, and they have to hide from a bombing, and then they're sent away to this place where the wardrobe is later. In this pre-story bit, this setting up of the backstory, you're introduced to their mother, and she's shown us to be a wonderful, loving, caring mother. And their father, who is absent, is also shown to be very important, which is very different from the books, because in the books there are no parents, zero. They're never mentioned, and I think that's something that's probably very important to their how these stories work as children's literature and as fantasy. And I think maybe when the writers were making the film script, they were a little bit disturbed by the story, there is no positive maternal figure. There is only this horrible witch. And, you know, that can be a little bit scary, I suppose, but it's very typical of fairy stories that the only female character is a witch or a stepmother, an evil stepmother, of course. And I think, that may be a little bit of a minus to the film, in that it detracts. You know, they're so anxious to put this the back psychology in to explain that they've taken this kind of archetype, they've altered this archetype.
Now, whenever the movie or the books are discussed, it's usually mentioned that they were written, as I said in my introduction, as Christian allegories. Is this a film you think that's going to appeal to Christian fundamentalists?
Well, I imagine.
Or Christians?
Well, I suppose so, because it's widely discussed as being, you know, the Christian story retold as an allegory for children. And it's odd, because there's been a fundamentalist backlash against the Harry Potter books and movies in the United States, because they're supposed to be devilish, you know, devil worship, because there's magic in them and all kinds of fantastic creatures like giants and, you know, centaurs, pagan gods, right? And all the things that Christian fundamentalists don't like. Yet in the Narnia book, the same characters are there, and the same kind of magic occurs. Children have magic power. The characters have magic power. And I can imagine that there could be some interesting theological discussions if children ask their parents, well, why can there be magic in Narnia but not in the Harry Potter books? Why is it good in one and not in the other? Of course, the answer would be because in the Narnia books it's God's magic, I suppose. This was like, it just leads back on itself. It goes nowhere. So it could be an interesting theological argument to rival the question of how many angels can dance on the end of a pin.
What about non-Christians? Do you think the Christian content gets in the way of appreciation of the movie for people who don't believe in that?
Well, I think probably most kids are not aware of the Christian aspect of it. I wasn't when I read the books, and it didn't spoil them for me until later. Because I think as soon as you are aware of it, a kind of preachy undertone comes in, and I think mainly the reader who knew it would be inserting everything that they didn't like about Christianity into the story, and that might spoil it a bit. And I was thinking, you know, like, what is really the difference between this story if it is not Christian and this story if it is Christian? And, you know, that's what it comes down to. If it's Christian, then you have this weight of authority, someone telling you that it's true in some, you know, metaphoric sense, that it's something that's, you know, even for me, you know, if that voice wouldn't be coming from very close by, it wouldn't be coming from my parents or anything, but you still would, it would spoil the fantasy of it, because you're not a willing creator as a reader of it. You're someone who's absorbing some kind of dogma. So that could spoil it. But actually, I found that the film almost had an opposite effect on me. And I you know, as the Christian allegory part, you know, really, you know, if you know it's there, it's very obvious. And, you know, as the heavenly voices were singing and the the really religious part of it was happening, I started to think, well, this is really very fascinating as a narrative, as a myth, as a kind of a universal dream. And if that's part of Christianity, that makes Christianity kind of more interesting. You know, this story of sacrifice, forgiveness, love, and cosmic battles between good and evil, of course. And it really could be a great story, especially if you added a few improvements like talking animals.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Laura.
Thanks, Jane.
I've been speaking with Laura Lamb about the film The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it's on view at many cinemas around the city. You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.